Good afternoon, friends, and welcome once again to the Grace Hour. We had a small hiatus last week because of the International Convention, which was amazing, and we're back in action this week, and what a wonderful way to begin our week than speaking about the life of Christ. We've been speaking about it all week, and today we're going to get into a glorified Christ. Christ glorified, a glorified Christ. And we'll begin today with the Bible. I'm your host, Pastor Ronaldo Brown. I'm in studio with Pastor Shibeli. And we'll begin with Galatians chapter 1, starting with verse 15. But when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. Then verse 24, and they glorified God in me. So we'll begin with you, Pastor Belli, and I thought from you.
Amen. Great, great verses. You know, as Paul starts off speaking to the Galatians, by the way, he doesn't start off this epistle in the normal way that he starts off other letters. He immediately tells them, Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by men. There was quite a problem in Galatia that he was having, and he wanted to make sure that they understood that he was an apostle, not of men, neither by men. And we were thinking about glory today, the importance of God's glorified Son, Jesus Christ. And obviously, he's called the Father of glory. You'll see that in Ephesians chapter 1, I think it's verse 17. You'll see the glory of Jesus Christ and the glory of the Holy Spirit. And you just put it all together, the glory of the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I love Matthew 3:16 and Matthew 17, verse 4 and 5. You see the entire triune God involved in what's known as the baptism of Jesus Christ. You hear the Father's voice saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. This is my agapetos, the Son of my love. And the Spirit descends upon him, Jesus Christ. So you have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit at the beginning of his public ministry. And I think that's really incredible. You know, many people begin their ministries, and do they begin with that kind of authority and that kind of power and that initiation, that motivation? And the importance of glorifying Jesus Christ himself. The enemy, Satan and his demons, using the world system and the old sin nature, the flesh, would love to reduce God's glory to just something very common, just something very plain and simple, and say, yes, he was a great man, he was a good man, and never say, yes, he's the God-man. He's the God-man, and this is so important. I think you see this in John chapter 1, verses 14 through 18, and it talks about the law was given by Moses, or the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his what? We beheld his glory, full of grace and truth. And this is such an amazing verse. It talks about his glory and his fullness. I think they really go together, fullness and glory. The fullness of Jesus Christ as a person and the glory to be revealed. Speaking in a definitive way about the word glory, doxa, that is used in the New Testament, it really speaks of who God is and what God has done. Not just what he has done, but what he's doing. The glory of God, the glory of God, who God is. And if the enemy could do anything, he would like to make God in his own image and then therefore be able to distort the image of Jesus Christ to humanity. And so people would not have an understanding at all. If you think about the attacks upon the glory and the person of Christ, it's mostly religions that just say he's a good man, he's a prophet.
Yes.
But they don't reveal anything about the glory he is as the God-man, perfectly God and perfectly man. That's the glory of God. And it's amazing to me. And when we see these verses here, and we see Matthew 17, we understand the importance of God's glory. Paul said it in Galatians 1, 15 and 16, as Pastor Ronaldo read, and it pleased God he called him from his mother's womb, and he saved him, and he gave him an amazing amount of grace so that he could reveal the Son, who would reveal his Son in me, unveil his Son in me. I like it how we said, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. Flesh and blood has nothing to do with this, you know. Certainly we understand what flesh and blood is. But and he says they glorified God in me. They saw the glory of God in the person of Paul. And this is so key. So a church should be doing what? Should be bringing glory to God.
Yes.
Should not be elevating man. We see so many movements today where man is elevated, and it seems like God takes a back seat, totally, you know. Look at this miracle that he was able to do, or this, he answered my prayer. They say, certainly God answered my prayer, but they put the emphasis on their praying, on their work, on their life. And does God get the glory? That's the question. Is the glory given to God? I love Romans 11, 34 through 36. It says, of him, and through him, and to him be the glory.
Yes.
Think of those three statements. Of him, he is the source. Through him, he is the author of the activity. And that's when the glory goes to him. If it's of man and through man, then glory goes to man.
Yes.
But if it's of him and through him, then glory goes to Jesus Christ. And this is what we see in the New Testament. We see this in these different Gospels of the New Testament, where God himself, Jesus Christ himself, is glorified, and he is revealed. We take a look at his character and nature. Glory means who he is in his character and nature and attributes. One time we did a study, we found at least 26 attributes of God. Knowing the character of God, the attributes of God, the nature of God, and then seeing what God has done and what God is doing. And so he desires the glory, and that's so key. But also man happens to be there somehow being influenced by the enemy of the devil, the world, and the flesh to somehow point to themselves, take a look at themselves. And, you know, thinking that you did. I remember Richard Wurmbrand was talking about man and how he tries to always get the glory. He said, put your hand in a bucket of water, then take it out. Water hasn't changed. Might be a little bit dirtier, I don't know, but the water hasn't changed. So really, man only glorifies God through the person of Christ and the work of Christ. A church glorifies God through the person of Christ and the work of Christ, elevating Christ. He said in John 12, 32, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men to me. I wonder why maybe today people are not drawn the way they should be. Is it that churches and Christians, it could be all of us included at some point, are we lifting up Christ? Are we elevating Christ? The word lifted up means to elevate, to exalt, to lift him up. And if he's lifted up, he'll draw all men unto me. Not lifting up my particular ministry per se, and it can be good. I'm not saying anything wrong about that. Lifting up the church, lifting up, you know, somebody said to me, you should come to our church. We have this great food after church every Sunday morning. Now, I like food, but you know what? I'm not coming to church to get something to eat.
Yes.
I'm coming to church to really get to know God himself, to know him, and that he would be glorified. And so is this what Christianity is all about today? Is this what life is all about? And by the way, maybe sometimes there are things that happen in our lives as Christians, and we don't particularly like them. But maybe what's going to take place is giving God the glory. God will get the glory through it.
Yes.
Paul went through many trials and tribulations. Just read 2 Corinthians 11, 18 through 12, 10, and you'll see that he was in like 38 things. But we realize he's talking about grace and glory in verses 7 through 10. It's amazing. So glorifying God, this is really what it's all about. If this program doesn't glorify God, it shouldn't be on the air. It shouldn't be on the air at all. But thank God, by the grace of God, we're able to glorify God. And remember the connection, too, between grace and glory.
Yes.
This is very important. It's only grace that glorifies God. Human works do not glorify God. Traditions do not glorify God. Keeping of ordinances does not glorify God. What glorifies God is me being a receiver of grace and then responding through the grace of God to reveal the glory of God in a personal life, in a church, in a marriage, in a single life, whatever it may be, to glorify God. A Christian school should glorify God. An outreach should glorify God. A Bible school should glorify God. A church service should glorify God. Song service should not glorify the singers, should glorify God. Giving should glorify God. Tithing should glorify God. Giving beyond the tithe should glorify God. Really, the glory be to God. Yes. This is so key. And without the glory of God, if God is not glorified, then everything is in vain. You know what the word vain means in the scriptures? To no purpose. Mm-hmm. Has no real value. To no purpose. Why would I want to go through a Christianity in my life and just have it be told at the Bema seat of Christ, it's all been in vain. Mm-hmm. It's all been in vain. You know, there's no reward for all that labor that you engaged in because none of it glorified God. It glorified a system, a person, something else rather than glorifying God. So as we consider this program today, you have an opportunity to call in. Let's ask God to help us, to give us grace so that we may glorify him. Galatians 1, 15, 16, and 24. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 1 through 6. Grace and glory. In Jesus' name,
amen.
Amen.
So we'd love to hear from you. Please feel free to call in internationally at 1-800-338-7060. And you can call us locally at 410-483-3700. You can email questions at questions@gracehour.org. You can also, if you're not tuning in, you can also catch us on podcasts at Apple, Google, Spotify, and Stitcher, among others. We'd love to hear from you today about a glorified Christ and what does that mean for you? We want to get beyond the theology of a glorified Christ. We know that Christ was glorified. We know that after the resurrection, he was glorified and he had a glorified body. And then he eventually ascended and sat at the right hand of the Father. But what does that mean for me? What is the real effect of Christ's glorification? And the reality of that is really Christ being glorified in me. Because Christ was glorified in heaven before the Father and sits at the right hand of the Father, in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, God can be glorified in you. And how does that happen? If you really think about the passage, but I was thinking about this as you were speaking. The Father, the Son glorified the Father, and he did that through a relationship. And as he lived his life on the earth, in his relationship with the Father, he glorified the Father. So there was a revelation of glory based upon relationship. You and I can have a revelation of glory based on our relationship with God. If I am a receiver in a relationship with God's character and nature, that will produce a revelation of God's glory in me, and I can experience Galatians 1:24 just like Paul did.
Well, if relationships do not glorify God, then they glorify man.
Yes.
That's as simple as that. Some people glorify a problem. Some people glorify the flesh, the weakness of the flesh. Some people glorify their past.
Yeah.
Even Christian past, okay? Thank you for that. It's a great foundation to build on. Mm-hmm. But I'm not going to just keep giving a testimony for 25 years about what happened in 1979 or something, but to have God's glory be revealed in each and every one of us on a daily basis. This is so key, and this is what's necessary. And by the way, Satan hates the glory of God. Mm. And when God is being glorified, he cannot be around. Mm-hmm. He cannot be around. He hates the glory of God. He's trying to elevate man so that man will be glorified. But behind it all, he's looking for the glory. Mm-hmm. Eventually, he knows that will come out with him getting the glory.
Yes.
So the enemy wants to glorify the things of the world and the things of the flesh. Mm-hmm. And he puts them out front. And maybe he hides behind these things where he cannot be recognized so that they would get the glory. But all in all, it is him who is receiving the glory. Put man out front, the world out front. Oh, it's so amazing that we can go to the moon and to the planets. Man is so incredible. Mm-hmm. He can go to the depths of the ocean, to the bottom of the ocean. Wow, let's glorify man because he can reach Mars or the moon. Mm-hmm. We can go to the bottom. Well, God's already told us what's there. Nothing. Mm. There's nothing. The only thing you're going to find out that's there in the depths of the sea is our sins are buried in the depths of the sea. So you want to go down to the bottom of the sea, that's what you're going to find. You want to go to the moon and Mars and Jupiter, you're going to find nobody. He's declared it to us that there is the existence of man glorifying God on planet Earth.
Mm-hmm.
Yet people spend so much money and so much time looking at things that really are not important at all.
Sure.
And it's to elevate man. Man, look what man did. He landed on the moon. And I'm not against that. There were Christians that did that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? I'm not against that. I'm just saying that there's something much more valuable than that, to bring glory to God on earth, to bring glory to God in my family, to bring glory to God in my marriage, to bring glory to God in the relationship, mm-hmm. to bring glory to God in the church, to bring glory to God on evangelism, to bring glory to God in every little thing that we do on a daily basis.
Mm-hmm. And speaking of that in a practical way, that tends to speak about my relationship with God and me responding to God mm-hmm. by faith. And in the measure that I respond to the character of God, his character, and you can say it the way you defined it, his character and his nature and his work is revealed through my life. Like the word doxa speaks of this outshining. It's like the outshining uh-huh. of God in my life because I've responded to the revelation of who God is in my life.
Amen.
Would you say that, I think this is the challenge sometimes, is that glory is something that men describe versus it's revealed. You follow me?
Like, yeah.
I'm glorifying God right now, but you don't really see that. When you're really glorifying God, like Paul didn't say, I'm glorifying God. The disciples discerned that.
Yeah.
So would you say that's discernible?
Well, I think it's like, if I have to describe to you how I'm glorifying God,
yeah.
I'm wondering whether I'm really glorifying God, right? Because I've got to tell you I'm glorifying God, and
right.
I'm pointing to me.
Mm-hmm.
But if we just looking unto Jesus,
mm-hmm.
the author and finisher of our faith, looking to God, that's the key. And what glorifies God? By the way, it could be the simplest little thing.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we think of glorifying God as something, you know, like, wow, extremely large
mm-hmm.
that must
mm-hmm.
take place in my life. I mean, God can be glorified in she's done what she could. She anointed the body of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe somebody is doing something in the church mm-hmm. or in their church, in the body of Christ, and that little thing is recognized by God and is bringing glory to God. Maybe they're just helping out the saints mm-hmm. in some way,
yes.
feeding people, help pray. How about praying for people?
Mm.
And that brings glory to God and whatnot. So we often think about glorifying God. Maybe we magnify it
okay.
in large things that we think would glorify God.
Right.
We don't think that this would. She's done what she could.
Yes.
She anointed the body. I mean, Mary and Martha, also, they just cooking food in Luke chapter 10, 38 mm-hmm. through 42, having Jesus in the house, you know, and glorifying God in simple ways, prayer, mm-hmm. Revealing Christ in a family, you know, giving,
mm-hmm.
Giving to your local assembly, your local church, prayer, giving in a local assembly, sharing the gospel with somebody, you know,
mm-hmm.
whatever that may be. You know, it's so important.
But let me ask you this question. Make this application. Ask you what you think about this. Okay, when Christ rose from the dead, right, there was something different about him. You could argue that he was different when he came out of the tomb than when he went in. He talks about that in Matthew 28, Acts 1. But there was a kind of a glorification of his body. There were some things that were the same. Like in Luke 24, he ate fish with two men. John 21, he cooked and ate fish with Peter. But then there was something else about him where he was walking through walls and walking through doors. So there was kind of like something was different because he had been glorified. And I could say when I am receiving from God's character and nature, there may be a certain part of my life that is normal.
Yeah.
But then there's a part of my life that has a supernatural aspect to it.
Absolutely. I mean, you can see actually in the scriptures, you can see Christ manifested in so many different ways.
Yes.
You see his pre-incarnation
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
existence.
Right.
Okay. Then you see the incarnation,
mm-hmm.
God becoming a man. Then you see a resurrected Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And then you also see Jesus in glory. It's much different.
Mm.
And the manifestation of Christ in the book of Revelation.
Yes.
And one in chapter 1 and chapter 19.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So you can see like it's so many ways of looking at it. And without a doubt, yet he did some very personal and practical things.
Yeah.
Like, you know, yes, he raised Lazarus from the dead
mm-hmm.
and he also help them to go fishing. He also could eat fish. He also, you know, could do some things that would seem to be very small, but they were very large because God himself did them and whatnot. So it's not just in like how much I'm going to church, that's glorifying God. I'm cutting my grass. That's not glorifying God. That's just practical and personal. No, no. You can glorify God in everything and everything that you do.
Sure.
You know? Otherwise, you begin to departmentalize the glory of God and you work it out in your own understanding. And then that becomes something that becomes particular to you, but it can be very personal. Some people do not think that working a job glorifies God. Yes, it does.
Yeah.
It really does. Yeah. By the way, he said, if you don't work, you shouldn't eat. You know, so I think he's magnifying the fact that you ought to work.
Sure.
That work can bring glory to God. Honoring people can bring glory to God. And all these little things, you know, people would say, oh, did you ever have somebody say this? This really irks me. Oh, she's just a housewife. You know what? That really bothers me. No, that's a woman of God who's operating in the plan and purpose of God, honoring God, loving her husband, taking care of her children. Oh, you want, in other words, for her to really be something, she has to work a job. That's kind of the mindset nowadays, isn't it? You know?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't remember growing up with that mindset.
No.
You know, my mother said one time, they asked her, have you ever worked in your life? She goes, look at these two. Pointed to me and my brother.
Yeah.
She goes, work would be much easier than raising them.
I would concur.
Yeah, I think she would say that, yeah. And so glorifying God in things that are very important in our lives that we think are important, but what is important?
Yeah.
What did Jesus see as being valuable? He did some, I mean, his whole ministry was like 3 years, and he didn't do a whole lot, but everything he did glorified God.
And I like what you said, that, but when you look at his life, you don't see a lot of glory. In other words, you don't see him doing glorious things. So there's this dichotomy of how he is glorifying God, but at the same time, there's aspects of his life that don't look so glorious.
Yeah.
But because of his relationship with the Father, there is the glory of God revealed. So in the small and in the big,
in everything.
Yeah.
You could glorify God by calling us up. Wouldn't that be amazing?
That could be amazing. That we'd love to hear from you.
Glorifying God by calling us on the telephone or whatever device they have. I guess there's many devices now that can glorify God, right?
Unfortunately so. There's tablets and laptops and phones and anything else you can think of that's electronic. But I was thinking about this thought about the glorified body of Christ. When you think about his ascension. And is there a picture of in that of us? Because like you've said often, when he goes to heaven, he takes glorified humanity with him.
Yes.
And he's different. He's completely different. He brings something to the Trinity that was not there before, which
perfect
is perfect.
Man.
Exactly. Yeah. So is there a picture of that in that he resurrects with a glorified body, how that affects us and our glorified bodies when we go to heaven? Because the Bible says we get glorified bodies. We will be different. We'll be changed. There are a lot of questions that are asked about that. Like, what does that mean for me? Is it the same as the old body? 1 Corinthians 15:52, we'll all be changed. Changed in what way? What does that mean?
Some things are not there for us. They're there for us to believe.
Okay.
We don't understand. There's many things I don't understand. What will it be like, you know, having a glorified body? I think we can see the example of Christ himself.
Yes.
I mean, he had a glorified body when he rose from the dead.
Right.
And John saw him with a glorified body in Revelation. But with that glorified body, he could, like you say, pass through walls.
But they recognize
him. But he could also eat.
Yeah.
They could recognize him.
Yeah, that's interesting. That's an interesting thought.
Oh, I don't think you're going to change. I think your physical appearance will be the same.
Really?
Except for it'll be glorified. Well, I really believe, like, you're going to know each other's faces.
Okay.
You're going to know each other. Like, they're going to say, that's Sebastian.
Okay.
Like, because Sebastian looks the same. Even though he has a glorified body, there's something unique about his life and his features that will be remembered. I that's what I believe.
Okay.
You say, well, where do you justify that?
Mm-hmm.
Where can you justify that? Well, you can just take a look at recognizing Jesus Christ in the book of Revelation. You see him. He was recognized by them in John 20 and 21.
Yes.
So it seems like his glorified body had the same features as his body when he was not glorified per se, but when he was walking in perfect humanity.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You could also say what you mentioned earlier at the Transfiguration. There's two prophets that are there.
Yeah.
Peter somehow recognizes those
Moses
two
and
men.
Elijah.
And they weren't even born at his time, but there was something about them that says, that's Moses.
That's
and
Elijah.
And that's Elijah.
Yeah.
I know enough about them that visually I can see them and say, that's Moses. So it's going to be something. It's got to be like when Christ's glorified body, when he came out of the tomb, when he was ascended, when he was getting ready to ascend, when he told Mary, touch me not. But he, even though in spite of that, he was seen, but it was something about him that said, that's still Jesus.
That's Jesus, yeah.
Enemies and friends both recognized him as still Jesus, resurrected though he had a glorified body.
Okay, so let's think about some personal, practical ways we can glorify God.
Sure.
That's very important, I think. And we talked about some of them. But you think about it. Loving one another glorifies God. All right? Loving one another brings glory to God, right?
Okay.
Building up one another in the most holy faith glorifies God.
Let's slow down. Back to loving one another, because what does that look like? I mean, so a lot of folks that try to love one another, and they take that phraseology, and what if I'm loving you and I'm not loving you with God's love? What if I'm loving you?
I mean, it obviously means agapeo, loving with God's love.
Okay.
And having a self-sacrificing ministry towards a person that is constraining, self-sacrificing, inseparable.
Okay.
Just take all the attributes of God's love, all the definitions, and loving people with that love. That brings glory to God.
So how do I do that?
By faith.
Okay, that's one.
Right? And through the Spirit. Okay, so God, why did God give us the Holy Spirit, the person of the Holy Spirit, so he could be manifested in our lives? So if I don't want to manifest my old sin nature, the good side even.
Yes.
That's the danger part.
Yes.
The bad side we know a lot about. The good side we need to learn more about. Loving people through the power of the Holy Spirit. What does the Holy Spirit do? Sheds the love of God abroad in your hearts. For who? For God, yes, and for people too.
Wow.
Right? For shedding the love of God abroad in your heart for God himself.
Yes.
And then for other people.
Okay.
And even for your enemies. Even for the unsaved.
Wow.
I mean, what's the gospel? God so loved the world.
Right.
Right? John 3:16 He gave his one and only son that whosoever believes. So he's loving them before they believe.
So loving the lost and loving my enemies glorifies God.
Absolutely. Absolutely. By the way, if a church does not get engaged in the gospel, can it say in that particular area they're glorifying God? No.
Yeah.
They bring no glory to God. So there's things. We elevate the word.
Okay.
That brings glory to God.
Okay.
Okay. Just read John chapter 1.
Okay.
And you'll see the importance of the word and the glorifying of God in the word.
Okay.
So loving the word, loving the church, the body of Christ, loving your brothers and sisters, loving the gospel, loving to pray. Okay? In other words, God, people have a big struggle with prayer. We all do in our lives with prayer. But how about it's just a loving relationship between me and God? I'm talking to God. He's talking. The Bible is him talking to me. Prayer is me talking to him. Prayer glorifies God, you know? So many things. So many things that are derivatives of those things, like we've talked about, providing for your family, working a job, whatever it may be, honoring, honoring those who should be honored, glorifying God in the particular and the personal aspects of our lives. It can become, the idea of glorifying God can become so abstract and so generalized that you say glory to God, you know,
yes,
and it just
do.
Becomes this Christian phraseology. But is God being glorified in little things, in these things that are really not little? They're little to me, but they're not little to God.
Could be mechanical, too. That's the other side of it, too, is that I hear today's program, and I'm going to go out with my 16 steps to glorify God, and I'm going to get mechanical and try to make this happen, because I'm going to make holiness a goal, and I'm going to make righteousness a goal, and I want to glorify God. But you don't get that vibe in Galatians chapter 1. You don't get Paul running through a system. You don't get systematized.
No. You receive grace.
Right.
In other words, you receive grace from God. That's who he is. And the finished work, what he's done. And then you receive it, and then you glorify God. That's what glorifies God, the person of Christ and what he's done. So I receive from God, and then I operate in God and what I have received.
That's good.
If I'm not receiving from God,
right,
then I'm just operating in good flesh. or some religious imitation, you know?
Right.
I mean, you know, Jesus really went after the Pharisees a lot in John 8:44, and he said to them, were they doing things according to the Bible? Some of them, yes, they were doing things according to the scriptures.
Yes.
He says, your father's the devil. So that's an interesting point, isn't it?
Yeah.
So they're actually obeying some aspects of God's word, thinking they're glorifying God.
Yes.
And by the way, he says, you're glorifying Satan. Your father is the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. So they were bringing no glory to God. Religious systems, no glory to God.
So doing it right doesn't glorify God.
Right. Just doing it and even saying, I'm obeying the Bible, mm-hmm. but are you obeying the Bible through the Spirit?
That's key.
Are you obeying the Bible through the initiation of God and His grace?
That's
important. Or are you obeying the Bible in the flesh?
Wow.
And so obeying the Bible in the flesh brings no glory to God. It brings glory to your flesh. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 says, no flesh shall what? 26, glory, 27?
20, 29,
here? Yeah. No flesh can glory mm-hmm. in His presence.
Yes.
Not, and I'm talking about good flesh. Nobody would say, oh, you know, that person went out and murdered somebody, you know, and question whether that was the glory of God. But somebody goes out and gives all their money
yes.
to something, and it's not God. It's not initiated by God. It's not motivated by God. It's something of the old sin nature, the good side.
Mm.
He said, if you give your body to be burned, without love, it profits you nothing. So you do all these things, wow. and you can do all these things that seem to be as if you're obeying the Bible, but what is the source?
Mm-hmm. Well, then the question would be, okay, so how do I check that? What's the check for me so that I'm not mechanical and that I am spiritual and that I'm glorifying God in my life? What's the check?
The check would be the Word of God and the Spirit of God.
Okay.
In other words, am I in the book?
Okay.
Is the book directing? Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet mm-hmm. and a light to my path. And then the Holy Spirit will convince me mm-hmm. if this is of Him or it's not of Him.
Mm-hmm.
And so to be Spirit-filled, that means I must be confessed up to date.
Mm-hmm.
I must be obeying God's Word. And whatever He is speaking to me personally about, it can be different for every single person. And so there's the check,
okay.
the Word and the Spirit. And then, of course, we have spiritual people we can go to.
Right.
And maybe we have questions that we can say, what do you think about this? I would like to do this.
Right.
And then they could be initiated to by people that have spiritual insight and spiritual wisdom, and they could be helped by that.
Okay. What are some personal fruits of God being glorified in me? Evidently, the disciples looked at Paul and they saw discernible yeah. fruits that said, God is being glorified in his life.
5:22 and 23.
Let's go there.
Love, joy, peace. Just read. Okay. What's the fruit of the Spirit?
Oh, fruit of the Spirit, yes.
And also, you've got Ephesians chapter 5 bringing in two more fruits besides the nine
okay.
that are in Galatians 5:22 and 23. You shall know them by their what?
Their fruits.
Matthew chapter 7,
yes.
23, 24. Mm-hmm. You'll know them by their fruits. And so bearing fruit reveals the glory of God.
Okay.
Spiritual fruit. And is there love? Is there joy? Is there peace? Is there meekness? Is there gentleness? Is there kindness? Is there mm-hmm. long-suffering? All these different fruits that are mentioned, righteousness
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
whatnot, these are mentioned. And so that would certainly reveal to me that glorification of God is taking place. Does a church bear those fruits? Does a Christian bear those fruits? Mm-hmm. You know, does an outreach bear those fruits? You know. That's key.
Let me bring this verse to you to think about in light of this. John 17:5. Oh, now, O Father, glorify you me unto thine own self with the glory which I had with thee before the world was.
Are you asking what glory is he talking about?
Yes.
Well, I think his resurrected God-man.
Okay.
Okay. And he had glory with God,
mm-hmm.
but in other words, glory with God the Father. The Son had glory with God the Father.
Mm-hmm.
But then the Son, God the Son, became a man.
Mm-hmm.
And now God, man, is returning to heaven.
Mm.
So he wants to glorify me with the glory that I had before.
Would you say that was different glory? I'm saying this because there was a certain measure of glory that he had before
sure.
Philippians chapter 2.
I would.
Okay.
I would because perfect man was not in the Trinity
yes.
until Jesus Christ
yes.
lived it out.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
God,
mm-hmm.
the Word became flesh and dwelt among us,
mm-hmm.
and we beheld his what?
Glory.
Glory. So he's bringing that glory back.
Mm-hmm. So with a
he's
different
bringing
glory.
That glory back.
So
yeah.
you could even say
that the glory that he, from his glorified body from the resurrection, when he ascended, that was completely unique glory.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
That's amazing.
No calls today? Hello?
Not yet.
No initiations by email either?
Not yet.
Wow, not yet.
Just the one verse.
20 minutes to go, I think.
So if you want to reach out to us. We'd love to hear from you. Back this week, talking about the life of Christ, a glorified Savior. You can call us at 1-800-338-7060 internationally. You can call us locally at 410-483-3700. You can also email your questions to questions@gracehour.org, or also YouTube and Facebook. You can type those in and send them to us. We'd love to hear from you about this topic of glory. It's one of those Christian phraseology words that is bandied about in the church. That glorifies God, that doesn't glorify God. What does that mean to you in a personal way? How is that reflected in the life of Christ throughout his life as we finish this week on the life of Christ? And what applications can I make towards my future walk with God?
Life of Christ. Glorifying God, life of the Holy Spirit, glorifying God, the Father's purpose and plan. Tonight we're talking about, in Bible college, by the way, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit.
Okay.
In relationship to grace and the finished work.
Okay.
So it's going to be a great class, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit.
Okay.
In relationship to grace and the finished work.
That's tonight at 6:30, right?
6:30 to 8:30.
6:30 to 8:30.
With a break in between where you can buy coffee, cocoa, potato chips, even a Snickers bar.
Okay, we have some comments. Robert Usaga from Uganda. Wow.
Whoa.
That's great listening from Uganda. Great to see you, Pastor Shpele, Pastor Ronaldo. God bless. And Pastor Marcel, who was with us in Zambia from Kinshasa.
Kinshasa.
He says, together from Kinshasa, God bless you, Pastor. We're praying for your graduation in October. That's going to be amazing. Hopefully, Pastor Sam can join you.
Where's that graduation?
That's in Kinshasa, DRC. We talked about that. Oretta Carter. She says, amen, our favorite daughter in Christ, Oretta, amen, amen, we are to glorify God and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in every area of our lives. Have a blessed day. Great time here talking about the glory of God tonight. You're invited, if you're available, to come down to 6025 Arabia Park Drive from 6:30 to 8:30. There'll be a class talking about the Trinity and their relationship with grace and finished
work. And
we're
going to use the Bible.
You're not going to do that.
God's word glorifies the person of Christ.
There it is.
We're going to use the Bible.
And that's an opportunity for you tonight on Friday. We'd love to have you come down. Also, we have services 9-11 on Sunday mornings and 6 p.m. Sunday nights. Wednesdays at 7 p.m. at 6025 Moravia Park Drive. We'd love to have you come down. To join with us as we glorify God together in the receiving and the preaching and the listening to the word of God.
Think about this, like grace and the finished work.
Mm-hmm.
Grace is who God is,
mm-hmm.
His fullness and glory. Finished work, what God has done and is doing. That's what brings glory to God.
Mm-hmm.
Grace and the finished work bringing glory to God. My person, myself, and what I do doesn't bring glory to God.
Right.
Okay. Unless I'm, of course, I am in Christ and I am operating through the Spirit and doing the work of God, motivated by God. But what man does, who man is and what man does, separated from who God is and what God does, brings no glory to God at all. It brings glory to man.
Right.
That's all. It brings glory to man. And man, you know, man says, okay, I should be exalted because I'm not like this person in prison, or I'm not like this person that has this problem or this addiction, you know, and it's just interesting to me. So man will begin to compare himself to other men,
right,
and therefore think he should receive glory or honor,
right,
but does man compare himself or look into who God is? When I look into who God is and what God has done, I feel very small before God,
yes,
which makes me now become hopefully a receiver of who he is and what he's done, and that's what glorifies God. And it's not, you know, I've done this with my life, you know, I've done that with my life, you know, what I've done, but is it through Christ? Is it Christ in you, the what? The hope of glory.
Yes.
This is such a key verse, Colossians 1:27. It's Christ in you.
Yes.
And that's the hope of glory.
What's interesting about what you just said is that you see that in the life of Christ with his Father, is that he glorified his Father. He makes himself small in his humanity. And because he does, the Father glorifies the Son throughout his life at various stages. Right. And then you look at our lives, and when we see Christ and we look at God and we say, okay, this is who God is and his character and nature, we make ourselves small, and then God glorifies himself through us as well.
We let the Holy Spirit live his life through us.
Yes.
And he operates in the church, mm-hmm. and that brings glory to God. The Holy Spirit, like the Son and the Father, bring glory to
beautiful
God himself. You know, so this is so key.
Amen.
Without it, we're in trouble.
Aretha Carter says to us, we will know everyone in heaven, perfect knowledge and glorified bodies in heaven, worshiping God, our Heavenly Father, and our King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Mm. Marian Atkins says, thank you. And if you're listening to this program and you've never received Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, we would love for you to make a decision for God today. Put your faith and confidence in the person and work of Jesus Christ and who he is and what he's done, and mix faith with that, and he will take you and make you his own and put you in his family and give you his love and his forgiveness. So we pray for you today if you've never made that choice. Again, feel free to join us this weekend, Sundays at 9 a.m., 11 a.m., 6:30 p.m., and Wednesdays here at 6025 Moravia Park Drive. We've had a great week of the life of Christ. We'll see you next week talking about heaven. Enjoy your holiday weekend. Woo! God bless you.
Heaven.